Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Instant replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ, featuring the best of the best from today's conversations, observations, and ruminations, because great radio is still fresh the second time around. Earlier today on the Mac and Bone Show.
You know, Mac, who should get a big money deal like we saw yesterday?
Who's that?
Like
who's
Wilkins that? Type money? That's Charles Davis.
Oh, yeah, definitely. If we were his agent, we'd be working on that right now with the NFL Network.
Iron Eagle probably takes up some of the cap space.
With CBS, no doubt about it. All right, here he is, CBS NFL Network analyst, draft analyst on the NFL Network side. He is Charles Davis. He joins us on the Bodyworks Plus guest hotline. Charles, how you been, man? What's happening?
Hey, guys, it's good to hear your voices. Hope you're doing well. And listen, Ian's going to get the big money deal. I'm going to take the veterans minimum. And I'll be fine with that, just as long as I'm playing for a winner.
What a team player.
Charles, you're probably player. Aware. We have a friendship on the show with Ian Eagle. He's great to us. I'm sure you know.
He's
one of one. But I can never text him when he's not calling a game. There was one time I said, Ian, can you come on and talk? NBA play. I forget what it was. He was doing some French Open or something. I'm like, what in the hell is going on here?
Hardest working man in the business.
And probably doing another show on the changeover.
You know? I mean, it's amazing.
He's unbelievable.
All right, Charles. Before we even get to any of the draft stuff, the Panthers now have two top 40 picks, so that's interesting. But let's just talk about the Panthers' day in free agency. Brian Burns traded, and it really just hurts to see a player this good go when you were offered a year and a half ago, reportedly by many, two firsts and a second, and then to get a second and a fifth for him. You do save that cap hit, right, of that $24 million franchise money. But what do you think about how this Burns saga went and how it ended?
Yeah, the tough part is, remember when all that was going down about what was offered before, it was different management. And then things changed, of course, and the league changes, and everybody looks at this, that, and everything. And you know how it goes. If you don't take a certain deal then, it's not likely to be the same down the road. And let's face it, that management didn't expect to wake up one day and not be there. You know, they thought, hey, we got to find a way to keep Brian Burns and keep building and keep moving around him, because their thought is, if we're going to be winners, he's going to be a big part of it. Now you get a new group in. Hey, we're going to have to do it a different way. We've got to build around this quarterback, obviously, which they had drafted anyway. But maybe at this point it'd become untenable. For a variety of reasons. So off you go. But I'm with you. I heard you guys a little bit before I came on. You know, Frankie Luvu never gets the credit he deserves for how hard he plays, how well he plays. Washington, that's you know, listen, Washington signing good players almost feels like we're in an alternate universe. Like, they are definitely under good new management now. Things have changed in Washington. And that's a really good thing, you know? I mean, Hayden Hurst, I believe, he has been released as well. That was the big free agent signing from a year ago. But what they're doing up front to try and get this quarterback going, and we know the pressure is increased probably by a factor of 100 by how C.J. Stroud played last year in Houston. Yeah. This is the New Orleans Saints formula, which you're looking at, guys. Yeah. And Dave Canales is not a New Orleans Saints guy. But when you have the smaller quarterback like Drew Brees was, they built from the middle first and then, of course, supplemented the edges. And these big, massive offensive guards are a model. Now, can they be, you know, Jari Evans and crew? Well, we will find out. They will have to play to that level. But that is the formula we're seeing in front of them.
Charles, people rave, and obviously so, and rightfully so, with the job Canales did with Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield. When you look at what he did for those guys, how he got those guys to the best they've ever been, what do you think he can do for Bryce that's similar that he did with those guys? What's a similar thing that he can do here?
I think first and foremost, and guys, none of us have to sit in meetings to think to ourselves, the first thing you've got to do is bolster his confidence. Because I don't care how confident a young person you are, don't care how confident you are if you're my age pushing 60. The year Bryce Young had last year, coming in with a claim, coming in off of Heisman Trophy, number one pick in the draft, and then to go through the year that he went through, I don't care who you are, that's going to dent it. So first and foremost is making sure you're rebuilding that. He can tell you he's fine. He can tell you, listen, we're okay. We're this, we're that. I wouldn't believe it for a second. I would go from the ground up and make sure, okay, here's where this kid is. Let's do whatever Dave Canales is going to do. And we've heard all the different remedies, right? You remember your grandmother had that great remedy. Now, this would make you feel better. And you're looking at her with an arched eyebrow, and you're like, I don't know about that, Grandma. And sure enough, you felt better the next day. Sometimes those down-home remedies work. You know, you show them the tape of when they were good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These are your best plays when you were coming up. It may be other things that you do. But first and foremost, make sure that he is comfortable in understanding, hey, we picked you for a reason. And by the way, we're the second group. We're adopting you for a reason, okay? You came in as the number one pick in the draft. We like you. You're fine. The C.J. Stroud thing? Yeah. Oh, yeah, by the way, during the season, you guys played head-to-head. How'd it work out? Oh, that's right. Your team won. You played better that day. You see where I'm going?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's these types of things that you have to do because, let's face it, the court of public opinion, man, you guys should have taken C.J. Stroud. And that's all he's hearing everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking with Charles Davis, NFL Network draft analyst, NFL analyst, CBS NFL analyst. All right, so when we look at the draft, now we have two. We don't have first, but now the Panthers have 33 and 39 to talk about. Yeah. We've been really fixated on the wide receiver group, Charles. And the guys that loaded. Could make it out of that first round, you're saying it's loaded. At 33, like, who are the guys you anticipate being available that you like the most at wide receiver? Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting because just what you said, it's such a what's your flavor and what the team's going to take at that time. You may get even more fortunate because in the first mock draft I did, I put five quarterbacks out there, and I tried my best to get a sixth in. Michael Penix was the one quarterback I didn't get in, and it wouldn't shock me at all if someone late in the draft either trades back in or makes a deal or what have you late in the first round and grabs Penix so they have that fifth year. You know what I mean? That sort of a deal. So if that's the case, that's going to push another receiver towards Carolina at 33. And A.D. Mitchell out of Texas is a guy that's going to be, I think, late first-round consideration, may get kicked to the second. A Keon Coleman, which, you know, you guys have remember how many years ago was it you took a Florida State receiver named Benjamin, who was a big, strong, physical receiver, gave you 1,000-yard season. My concern about him going in was how big is he going to get, especially after he had, you know, has some money in his pocket. And unfortunately, that did happen.
Yeah.
I don't think we have that with Keon Coleman. I don't think it's the same at all. It would actually be if you drafted Johnny Wilson from Florida State late, I'd kick him to tight end like tomorrow. Okay, not because he has a weight problem. He's just such a big, big kid. He receiver's not tenable for him anymore. In my humble estimation, go be the big tight end because how many tight ends block anymore anyway? Just go catch the football, young man, and you'll be fine. But, you know, those sorts of guys. Xavier Worthy, everyone is convinced it's run himself into the first round. I wouldn't be overly convinced with that yet. Because the top 10 all-time combine times for the 40-yard dash, have you guys taken a good look at that list and seen who actually was a player in that one? Now that Worthy has the number one time, and he's in the top 10 list. I went over the list again 2 days ago. And if I'm not mistaken, Chris Johnson is on that list. Marquise Goodwin is on that list. And then after that, it's a big debate on who gave you anything in the NFL.
It doesn't guarantee that you're going to be a baller, right?
Does not guarantee a thing. Listen, what about the young man out of Georgia? Is he a lock first rounder? McConkey?
Yeah.
Ladd McConkey? We don't know. Now, you got to decide what you want in terms of size at that position as well, because he's not a big guy. He's going to be a slot guy. Runs terrific routes, excellent hands, the whole deal. But he exemplifies what I talk about all the time. These evaluators, this is where it's tough. Production in college versus potential in the NFL. McConkey, for all the acclaim we're giving him running in, have you taken a good look at the production? Hasn't been huge. Now you have to decide why it hasn't been huge. Was it because Georgia ran it? Because Georgia didn't throw it as much? Was it because he was hurt? You know, all those things that go into it. It's like a Penn State edge rusher. Remember when Oway came out a couple years ago with zero sacks the senior year, still went the first round?
Yeah.
Okay. Chop Robinson is that guy this year, had the monster combine. You know how many sacks he had last year? He had 4. Okay. So if you're an evaluator, you got to go, production versus potential. But then Chop Robinson runs 4.48 at 260 pounds.
It isn't easy. It isn't easy. Like, we get on here, Charles, it's here and get so mad when our team messes up picks, and they have done that. They have done that. But there's so many factors. It ain't easy, you know?
Charles,
no, it's not easy. Yeah. Listen, I'll make it very quick for you guys. Yeah. You're right, it's not easy. And I sit here on the outside in the cheap seats doing my evaluations, this, that, and everything. I was like, oh, I wouldn't take him. Oh, I'd take him. I'd do it. Yeah, I'm not on the line for it.
Yeah,
these evaluators who have GM next to their name, they are.
Yeah, true. Charles, my last check of your mock draft, I think you had Drake May going third overall, I think it was. Last week, we had a crazy run that we were kind of taken aback by, where it felt like draft analyst after draft analyst was just either, you know, Chris Sims had Drake May, the 6th best quarterback. Lance Zierlein said what a gamble he is. Many of them, Orlovsky said he may have to sit a year or two. We watched him play here, and we were taken aback why Drake May all of a sudden in some people's minds is falling without playing many games. What's your reaction to that, and what's your assessment of and your projection of Drake May to the NFL?
Yeah, I've still got plenty of work to do on it. My easy one is this. When I hear Chris Sims, when I hear Lance Zierlein, when I hear Dan Orlovsky talk, I listen because these guys are very good at what they do, and they're excellent evaluators. And there have been plenty of times where they've gone against the grain with people and have turned out to be correct. So it's not just out of pocket. My initial very simply is, if I'm New England or if I'm Washington, I'm not overthinking it. I'm taking him, I'm running with it, because I do think that he's a terrific player who's only going to get better. I think that, you know, what we saw at North Carolina, where there's times where he forced the ball, did things, a lot of that was an answer to trying to keep up with his own defense. Caleb Williams had a dash of that last year at USC, and he's still going to go number one overall. I love the arm. I love the makeup. I love the ability to move. I love everything about Drake May. I'm not overthinking it for my way of thinking. I want that kid. I'll take him tomorrow, and we'll work it out from there. Look, bottom line is those guys have great eyes. They have great evaluation skills. They see things. And because they've done it, I'm going to be looking with a little more critical eye myself. But where I sit right now, he's one of my top 3 quarterbacks. And the reason I've got Jake Daniels going 2 right now is Dan Quinn's a defensive coach in Washington. So I'm wondering how much influence he'll have on the GM, because defensive coaches hate quarterbacks who can flat out run. It drives them insane. They're the guys that they hate playing against. So they typically want them on their team. That's why I gave the, you know, put Daniels at 2. Wouldn't surprise me at all watching like Drake May at 2.
All right, great stuff, Charles. We appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for coming on. Be good. Take care of yourself. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. And J.J. Jansen re-signed. We didn't even get to that. I can't believe you guys didn't lead with that.
That was disrespectful of us.
Charles, he booked himself for this morning at 8 a.m., so he's going to be on here in an hour.
We figured he was going to toot his own horn at 8 o'clock.
Listen, you tell J.J. I was championing him now.
We're going to say that
I was in his corner.
You were very upset when you neglected that son.
He got trumped by like Christian Wilkins deal. Like yesterday, I'm watching.
What the heck?
Yeah, come on now. All right, thank you, Charles.
You're good, guys.
Listen to Mac and Bone every weekday morning from 6 to 10. Instant replay continues with more in a moment. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ,
the exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
McDonald's is not new to chicken, so maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken, they're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
instant replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Because great radio the second time around is always twice as nice. This afternoon on the Wesson Walker Show.
Redo to start the show. Tough, man. When the bus ain't acting right, you don't get off the bus right either. That was tough. We got people writing in on the text line about it. Bagel guy, he was screaming all caps, war cry, I need it. It's a beautiful day. And then shortly after, the bus misfired, or as you say, the computer system misfired. Although there are some people on the text line maybe feeling like it was Fitty's, maybe it was the bus driver's fault. Not the bus's fault. All right. Just saying, with the people, you have a moment to defend yourself. Well, you have that moment if you want. But Spence said, y'all school bus hit a speed bump. Falcon Joe, the bus wouldn't crank. Ha ha ha. Cam tweets things. Big yikes, Fitty. Is it a big yikes for you? Like, this is your moment to defend yourself at how terribly we got off the bus.
Look, I've been driving the bus for a little over a year now that the Wesson Walker Show has been put together. We haven't had any issues before today.
I don't know if that's true, to be honest with you.
Yeah, there's a couple times where I just didn't have it ready to go. But today, man, look, I hit the button. That's it was like the push start. You know, I push start on the bus and the bus wasn't ready to go for
what kind of bus are you driving? Does our school have that kind of budget where we can get a push to start bus for these kids?
Hey, baby, look, we big time.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, we got the.
You went to Cranbrook. That's a private school. That's what kind of buses we got. Push to start. Do we have a push to start just from the keychain alone where we can be 100 feet within the bus and then it starts on its own just to heat it up for the kids that are about to go to school?
You know, what's really funny is like the truck that I drive is not a push start, because like when I bought my truck, I was like, who needs that? I have now come to realize at 27 years old, the next vehicle purchase that I have, it's going to be push start. It's going to be remote start. It's going to be I can crank it from my phone start.
Like if it had built-in software to you could even think about it starting, you would go ahead and purchase that type of vehicle.
Yeah, like I'd want my car to have an internal alarm set that 15 minutes before I sit down, it's going to crank itself and either cool itself down or warm itself up.
Our bus didn't start at all today.
It did.
That was the problem. Yeah, that was the problem. Although I am interested in how many people felt the same as me when there were bus problems as a kid. Like, it didn't matter for me if I was on the bus and there were problems not being able to get home in time. Like, I wanted to get home, but also all my friends were there. School was done. It gave me the excuse to not work on my homework. And so, hey, we can't get home right now. Let's throw a party on the bus that has some problems and can't get out of the parking lot. I thought it was actually always fun when the bus was undergoing some issues and we couldn't get home on time. I don't know if other people felt like that, but I was a part of the back of the bus crew.
Yeah,
that's where the cool kids sat. We all know what it was. And then so if you couldn't get home on time, then my mom didn't make me do my homework and, you know, it would have to like be done immediately once I did get home after that. But I was always a fan of bus issues. Not this one.
Yeah.
I'm older. I'm wiser now. I'd rather just crank up when we wanted to. But when I was a kid, oh yeah, but yeah. JJ, morning bus problems were lit. Yeah, because that's the angle. It's when you didn't have to get to school on time.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I had this. Thank you, JJ, for correcting my train of thought, because I had it the other way around. But you're right. If you had bus problems in the morning and you didn't get to school on time, that's when it really went down, because you didn't have to do homework anyway. You were missing some class. It's not like the school day is going to prolong for you. Yeah, that was the moment.
The problem I had was also being a part of the back of the bus crew. My bus driver, I went to church with. So I was never safe from whatever stupid thing I did. And y'all can imagine, I was pretty stupid growing up. Like I was a problem child on the bus. So.
And yet you always try to say that we are pushing the narrative about how much of a problem you are. You're saying that is us doing that rather than your own reputation. I just want, yeah. Look, we got the sound.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing that I've learned about, you know, you in particular, and Wes has really caught on, is you've learned how to, you know, take whatever context I say and fit whatever narrative you want to push.
All right, let's talk more about the free agent class, because we've talked enough about this. People are starting to get frustrated. We have a great trade to talk about. We have a free agent class that the Carolina Panthers are actually doing a good job with. I did want to get to some other text about that. Darren said on the text line, "I must admit, I really trashed our GM yesterday. I did not want him at all to be the GM, but I must say, other than losing Frankie Luvu and Brian Burns and him botching that job, he's doing a fantastic job so far in free agency." Really, yeah. Like, I think we focused a lot on what happened with Brian Burns yesterday. But Robert Hunt, I mean, you have some questions there, because $20 million a year is a lot for a guard that's not top five in the league. He's very good, but he's not top five. And you're paying him close to, I need to look up the top paid guards in the league, but you're paying him a lot of money a year, a lot of guaranteed, long contract. So I get some of the questions there. Damian Lewis, certainly not even a top 10 guard. Like, he's worse than Robert Hunt and got paid like it. But I could understand why people would question a little bit. Two guards, 150 mil. That's a lot of money. But yeah, Carolina's playing at a different level, guys. Like, they have a really small quarterback that anytime we had anybody on these airwaves, Fitty, we had Ron Rivera on. We've had NFL pundits, ESPN, Pro Football Focus, whatever. You can really copy and paste a lot of their answers together and they sound the same. It's, hey, take a page out of what the Saints did with Sean Payton so many times. Get the big guards up front to make sure that the smaller QB can climb the pocket and not have interior pass rush ruin a possession. And that's what they set out to do, even if it meant overpaying at guard. It might not even be an overpay, to be honest with you. We'll see.
Yeah.
Jury's still out on that. But I'm totally okay with those moves, because everything that you do this offseason, that you do going forward, it should be done with the idea that we need to set Bryce Young up for as much success as possible. And so you sign two of those starting guards. You kick Austin Corbett, who I think is good when healthy. You just put him at a different position. We'll see how it goes. But then you make the trade yesterday. You get the guy that is leaps and bounds better than whoever else you had on this roster last year. And that includes Adam Thielen. I'm not even trying to give him a backhanded compliment. Good year for Adam Thielen. But even he is not the separator that Diontae Johnson is. Hell, ESPN metrics would tell you no one is the separator that Diontae Johnson is. And Dan Morgan in this Panthers front office got him for a late pick swap, and Dante Jackson, who they were going to cut anyway. It's my favorite move from the Panthers in free agency and on the trade market. Fitty, like, I'm not trying to be hyperbolic here. It's probably my favorite move from this Panthers team. What? Since the Scott Fitter era started? I mean, even before that?
Well, I mean, you know, I guess behind trading up to get Bryce, right? Like, this is probably the favorite move that you've done, or you going a maybe step further or saying you like this move?
Well, speaking of jury still being out, it's still out on Bryce. I hope that Bryce is great. I liked it. But even then, you gave up DJ Moore.
Yeah.
When you have these people that are clowning the Carolina Panthers for giving up all of these talented people, like, DJ Moore is featured in those clowning texts. So there was a lot of risk. My argument here is that there's no risk. This is what I was talking about with Colin. Diontae Johnson could not record one single receiving yard, and I will still justify that this trade is made 10 times out of 10. Because Dante Jackson could go up there and have a Pro Bowl type season with Pittsburgh. They were going to drop him anyway.
Yeah.
If you wanted to argue that Carolina should have never dropped Dante or never let that news get out, cool. That can be a back and forth discussion. But they were going to drop him. They told you they were going to release him. And despite that news getting out there into the public, Pittsburgh said, we need some corner help. We need at least an average corner to play opposite of Joey Porter Jr. So let's get our corner too. Even if Carolina was going to drop him, we didn't want to take a chance that another team was going to pick him up. So we'll give you our disgruntled wide receiver. So there's zero risk. Zero. And you give up late pick swaps. I'm not even saying that day three picks don't matter. They do. But They matter because sometimes you can parlay that into a talented player that's already established. Deontay Johnson is 27 right now. He'll be 28 at the beginning of next season. The only reason his numbers haven't been great the last couple of years are, one, because he got injured last season, and two, because Kenny Pickett was throwing him the football and Matt Canada was his offensive coordinator, and their offensive line was bad 2 years ago, got better this past season, but they were a run first team. He's not Calvin Johnson, but that's okay. Nobody is. Nobody's Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, but you got the next best thing, and you got him for nothing. That's what I love about this move. That's why it's the favorite. It's the favorite at least since they traded for Stephon Gilmore, because they only gave up like a 6-round pick. And then after that, that's when Carolina started to crash. But you still justify that trade a million times because it's a 6-round pick. You go bring somebody home. If Carolina was going to continue on the trajectory that they were at the time they traded for Stephon Gilmore, it makes all the sense in the world. When we talk about Scott Fitterer's problems, we never point to that as being this terrible trade. Totally fine. Not particularly impactful in the future, but totally fine. This one, there's zero risk, and it could be very impactful for the future.
704 number said this is the best value they've gotten in a trade since they traded for Greg Olsen.
So talk about hyperbolic. I wanted to make sure that I had all my research done to make sure there wasn't anything slipping through the cracks, but I kind of feel the same way. I am full-blown excited, man. Like, that's how it is.
Well, we know because you love wide receivers.
Oh, you're so right. I am guilty as charged. I love a good wide receiver. But emphasis on the good part. I like a good wide receiver. I'm not out here just pining for all wide receivers, or else I would have loved this core this year. And to be fair, I did think that last year's core was going to be better than what it was. I would argue most people did. But Deontay Johnson's good. The other thing about him being open, it's the fact that if you look at some of the other wide receiver statistics, right? Yak, ability to get open, catch rate, whatever advanced metric you want to roll with. What's nice about the open scores and his ability to create separation is that plays long term. It's the most reliable of all of the stats that I just mentioned. Because if you talk about yards after the catch, those matter a lot. Like, those are exciting. That is a necessary stat for some of these good wide receivers in the league. But what's more reliable, yak or getting open? It's the ability to create separation, because once you're a good route runner, that thing's polished, man. But the ability to break tackles and take it to the house, that is so dependent on what kind of defender is making an attempt at tackling you. Where, like, if you're Deontay, who's done this for 3 straight years, think about all of the different defenders that have been thrown at him, all of the different coverages. You take this thing further. Matt Harmon is talking about all the different defenses you're going against, whether it be zone, you know, different types of route trees. Man gets open, and we need that. We need that badly. Tell us how you're feeling. 704-570-9610. FanDuel text line 704-570-9610. We're scrolling. California Greg. Thanks for listening if you're living California. California Greg writes in, are we now admitting that we're in full rebuild with these moves? This isn't a bad thing necessarily, but let's call a spade a spade. I think that there's a clear vision for this team. I don't think it's... What I hate about, like, some of the cliche radio topics, like, how many times a year do we hear from some of the teams that are in very similar territory for Carolina? Is it a rebuild or is it a retool? Which one is it? Call in. Tell us your thoughts. I don't think it's a full on rebuild.
They're just doing what they should have done.
They're just making smart moves. At the end of the day, let's just make smart football decisions.
Yeah. I mean, like I said it yesterday, they're doing what they should have done when they moved on from Ron, which is, you know, you brought in a GM head coach tandem that see things and have a shared vision for the organization on and off the field. That's what they're doing. And everyone knew at the time when they didn't fire Marty that it just doesn't end well in the modern NFL. When you don't fire both at the same time, you're basically setting yourself up for organizational failure. And that's what they did. They fell flat on their face. And Dave Tepper took a long look in the mirror, realized that what he has done hasn't worked. And it appears so far with these moves that he ain't in there calling the shots. I don't think he's going in there with his chest hair out telling them who to go sign in free agency. He may have told them to go trade for Deontay Johnson because of his ties to Pittsburgh. But outside of that, this feels like Dan Morgan is making moves that are going to fit the way Dave Canales wants to play football.
Woody from Stanley writes in, so Walker, we don't have a problem with the receiver who's 5'10 or a quarterback that's 5'10. Nope.
Not if he's open. Not if he's open. Right. You don't care.
You're right. I do not care. I remember this storyline hitting Cam Newton when he lost Kelvin Benjamin because Dave Gettleman fell victim to this. He drafted Kelvin Benjamin because he's a big wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the narrative about Cam Newton was that when he missed high. All he could do was throw bullets. He didn't have enough touch. He could throw the deep ball or he was throwing a bullet and there wasn't much loft or touch on some of the throws 15 yards are in. So he goes and drafts the big wide receiver. He goes out for the year in a joint practice with Miami. All of a sudden, this offense is only going to rely on Cam's running ability and maybe Greg Olsen getting to his patented 800 yards a season at that point, right? That's what everybody, I was worried. You lose a guy that goes for 1,000 yards his rookie season, I was worried. But what happened that year? Cam wins MVP. Cam is throwing the ball at a high level. You know why? Because he had Ted Ginn, who, yeah, catch rate, not good, but was a speedster running down the field. You also did have Greg Olsen. And I thought Cam was particularly sharp, especially in the second half. And he wasn't throwing to tall receivers except for Devin Funches. But Philly Brown was involved. Ted Ginn wasn't tall at all. Like, to me, I thought it was all about creating that separation, not, oh, okay, well, I'll just throw a jump ball. Man, I don't want you throwing jump balls. That's way too risky. Take care of the football. What does traditional football coaches, what do these old age dudes tell you that mixes with the analytics age? Everybody that knows ball tells you to take care of it. And if Bryce Young has somebody open to throw to, then the only interception, the way that that happens is if it gets tipped at the line of scrimmage or if the wide receiver drops it. Other than that, you don't have to worry about the defender being next to Deontay Johnson as much because he's going to be running right by him. I have plenty more. Like, I wanted to try to talk more about some of these other moves, but man, I'm excited about this one. Just because it matters for Bryce, man. Like, I'm not trying to tell you they're going to win the Super Bowl. If we are making moves to help Bryce, this is one that helps him a lot. So, no. Woody from Stanley. I'm telling you right now, I don't care how tall Deontay Johnson is. I just hope that he can be a productive football player, and he's proven that when he's on the field, Deontay Johnson can be a productive football player.
Heart over height, baby. Heart over height. That was my mantra when I dominated in church league.
You can hear Wes and Walker live and local every weekday afternoon from noon to 3. Sit tight and stay locked because instant replay continues next. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Earlier this afternoon on the Kyle Bailey Show.
That'll be great, man. I'll be right down the road. It'll be a little easier for my family to come watch me play. So that'll be great. That's just them telling me that they want me on their team, man. A lot of coaches came and hollered at me before and after this process here, man. A lot of them, man, they say they got a buzz in their facility for me, man, and I'm just ready to see where I'm going to land.
Xavier Leggett, audio courtesy of NBC Charlotte, South Carolina Gamecocks Pro Day. And as I told you before, I mean, he sounds like baby Randy Moss. You can't tell that he's from Mullins, West, South Carolina, or Rand, West Virginia, but the kid's a stud, man. And Carolina seems to love him. They sent a caravan down to Columbia for Pro Day, and we're talking about all that, plus some Gamecock football with a good friend of the show and a guy who's going into a big year in the SEC, although I guess they're always big in the Southeastern Conference. Our friend Shane Beamer, head coach of the Gamecocks, is back with us here on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. Coach, it's great to have you back, brother. How you been?
I've been well. Appreciate you having me back on, and hope you're doing well also.
Yeah, man, it's good to have you. I think you already know the folks down the street here at Bank of America Stadium seem to really love that young man, and I know he had a good year for you last year, and the measurables are off the charts, so I'll make it simple. What can you tell us about Xavier Leggett and how you see him at the next level?
Bud, love hearing him talk right there. I know that voice anywhere. But he's a stud on the field, but he is a even better person. And I know people say that about people all the time, but it's the truth with him. He worked his tail off this past year to become the player that he was this past season for us. The sky's the limit. He's hardworking. He can help in so many ways. I was telling somebody yesterday, Kyle, like even before he did what he did this past season as a receiver, he can get drafted just because of his special teams ability alone. Mm-hmm. I mean, 2 years ago we beat A&M. He returns the opening kickoff for a touchdown. Same game, he's covering kickoffs and making solo tackles inside the 20-yard line, and he's also the gunner on our punt team and was a weapon out there. So he was going to get drafted because of that. And then you add what he did this past season as a receiver. Couldn't be more excited for him. There's a lot of teams that are interested in him, and selfishly, I'd love to see him right up Interstate 77 from us here in Columbia.
Oh, I think so, too. I mean, I know you – I've known coaches long enough, especially, that you guys don't like to get into the comp game, but, you know, we've seen him talked about as being DK Metcalf with maybe better ball skills or things along those lines, but it really is his athleticism and his size that stands out. Is this guy a number one wide receiver in the NFL in your mind?
Yeah, when you talk about, you know, his size and his speed, which are very evident now watching him at Combine and Pro Day and things like that as well, Senior Bowl, he can do so much. You know, you guys, y'all know more about the comps than I do with players. But I think he's probably more like, and this is not me saying that he's Deebo Samuel, but I think he's maybe more of Deebo Samuel than he is DK Metcalf in that, no, we could line him up as a running back if we wanted to and toss him the ball. And he's also playing receiver, and he's playing on the outside, but he's also in the slot. You know, I just think he's very multiple Swiss Army knife in a lot of ways from that standpoint, very much like Deebo Samuel is for the 49ers in that sense.
Shane Beamer, head coach of the Gamecocks. He's with us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. You had several guys working out yesterday, and I want to talk about a couple of them. But Spencer Radler's the other that's really getting people talking the last couple of months. He really impressed folks down in Mobile at the senior day, and it sounded like he threw really well yesterday. What can you share with us about maybe what scouts are telling him and how much he seems to be impressing NFL scouting departments over these last several weeks?
Yeah, he's certainly on an upward track right now when it comes to how NFL teams see him. And obviously the arm talent speaks for itself, and that was evident. He earned the respect of a lot of teams this past season, just the way that he handled some of the adversity that we went through on our team, but particularly on the offensive line. And we were decimated by injuries last season on the offensive line. We lost six offensive linemen to season-ending injuries. In our first nine games, we started nine different starting offensive line combinations, nine different O-line combinations. Wow. In the first nine games. And because of that, we were starting two true freshmen on the offensive line in the SEC, one at left tackle and one at guard. And because of that, we certainly, to say the least, we had some protection issues. Now, don't get me wrong, we have to be better as coaches and to prevent those. But Spencer, as the quarterback, when you're having pass protection issues and you're struggling to run the ball, the quarterback's the guy that's going to take the brunt of that getting hit. And he never got frustrated. He never pointed fingers. It would have been easy for him to complain and not be a great teammate. And he was anything but. And he earned the respect of his teammates. He's a two-time captain for us here at South Carolina. But he also earned the respect of NFL teams with the way that he handled that adversity. So he had that going for him going into this draft process. And then what he did down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, and then what he's done kind of since then with Pro Day I know there's a lot of teams excited about him, and you know this. You've been covering it long enough, Kyle. All it takes is just for one team to fall in love with you, and you end up getting drafted a lot higher than any of the mock drafts maybe have you going. And I think that's certainly going to be something that happens with Spencer as we go through this process.
Yeah, well said. Now, I was reading some comments from Dow Loggins yesterday, and he's seen a ton of pro days. That guy spent a lot of time in the NFL. He was talking about Xavier, talking about Spencer. He also was talking about Trey Knox. And, you know, the Panthers might need a tight end, but several teams always do. Trey Knox is a guy that I've liked for a couple of years now, just in terms of his translation to the NFL. What qualities does he have that you can offer up for the folks here? Because I think he could be in play in the middle rounds for Carolina.
Yeah, Trey is really athletic. We were fortunate that we had him for one season. He transferred from Arkansas, where he was with Dow Loggins. I think the thing that's unique with Trey is he's a high school receiver that grew into the tight end position. That's what he became. I think a lot of times when you get a receiver that becomes a tight end, the blocking aspect of it is an issue. When you're asked to block defensive ends in the run game, or in pass pro. And with Trey, it wasn't. He has the mentality and the toughness to do that. And he has shown that. But then you add that with the skill set that he has from the receiver position as well. He can do a lot at the tight end position. And then he's extremely intelligent. He is just really, really, really smart offensively, special teams-wise. He gets it, you know. So Dow has spent multiple years with him because they were together at Arkansas, and then, you know, Trey did some really good things for us. He battled through some injuries. He had some stuff this past season that was kind of nagging the entire year that he battled through and fought through, and showed a lot of mental and physical toughness doing that, and is healthy now and looks great.
Let's get back to the quarterback position for a second, because obviously Spencer's on the way out, and I know you just nabbed a stud quarterback from up there in New England, I think out of Connecticut, who's coming in. You got a talented transfer coming in. I've heard Luke Doty's name still floated around, and listen, I'm not maybe as tuned in as some of the message board guys, or obviously you, but in terms of the quarterback battle going into the fall, what are you expecting from those guys?
Yeah, I'm excited. We start spring practice on Tuesday. And really looking forward to getting out there and starting the competition, not just at the receiver, not just at the quarterback position, but at all of our positions. There's great competition across the board. But quarterback wise, we've kind of got, you know, a mix of a lot of different skill sets and experience in that room. We've got an older guy, like you mentioned, Luke Doty, who's been in our program since I got here as the head coach in December of 2020. We've brought in a transfer from Auburn and Robbie Ashford, who has started games in the SEC at Auburn, but also spent a year at Oregon out of high school. We brought in Davis Bevel, who started out his career as a Pittsburgh quarterback, transferred to Oklahoma the last couple of seasons. Davis is from South Carolina and back with us now. Dante Reno is the freshman you're alluding to that just got here in January from up north. And then Lenoris Sellers is finishing up his first year in the program and played some games for us last year against Furman and Vanderbilt and in Kentucky, and has a big future, I believe. So it's, you got some older guys in that room. You got some young guys in that room. You got mixes of athleticism, and eager to see how it all shakes itself out. But they're all really good players, all really good young men, and all working to make each other better.
You had back-to-back winning seasons to start your tenure there, and you slid back a little bit last year to 5-7. And I would feel silly asking you, you know, do you feel pressure going into year four, because it's the SEC? There's always pressure to win, but this is a big year for you. How do you approach this year? How do you attack this year? And what are your expectations for this group?
Yeah, I think in college coaching nowadays, every single year there's pressure, whether it was year one, year two, and certainly some would argue, you know, last in 2021 and 2022, win in 7, win in 8, and a lot of those things that we accomplished, there were high expectations, and rightfully so, in 2023. And we did not perform the way that we wanted to, players and coaches. But every year there's pressure. Every year it's starting over. But for me, Kyle, it was looking back and realizing that, one, we weren't that far off last season from having the year that we wanted. And every game that we played last season, we had an opportunity to win it going in to the fourth quarter. And we weren't able to get it done. So for me as the head coach, it's looking back and, you know, seeing the things that we did well, how do we continue to do them well? the things that we didn't do well or the injuries that we had. Why did those occur? How do we prevent those injuries from happening this year? How do we improve as a football team? And let's get to work. And that's what we're doing. I like this group. There's a great hunger about this team. There's a great maturity about this team. It's been very evident in our off-season workouts, and looking forward to getting on the field with them next week. And every single year in the SEC, I mean, we're in the most competitive conference in America, and you know it's going to be a battle. And I like the group that we're going to battle with in 2024, and we got a long ways to go, but we're on the right track.
All right, a few weeks back, it was great to see that your dad was the recipient of the Nick Saban Legacy Award. You made the trip down to Alabama, and I should mention the late Bobby Bowden also honored at that ceremony, but it got me thinking about Nick Saban's recent comments. Everybody's talking about him, and he basically said he got out of college football because the game has completely changed, and the motivations of the players have changed, and I've seen you on the recruiting trail here in Charlotte. You're burning it up, and you're in the living rooms all the time talking to these guys, and you know, Nick has caught some flack for this, but I'm sure you've seen his comments by now. What did you make of what he had to say, and are you running into the same things out there when you're in these living rooms talking to recruits?
I saw the comments and totally understand where he's coming from, and I get it. And he's not wrong in the sense that that's what you're asked at more than what you have been in the past. Don't get me wrong. But also, you know, for me as a coach, it's recruiting the right kind of guys, making sure that we're bringing the right kind of people into our program. That are here for the right reasons and choosing this school for the right reason. And then when you get them in your program, you want to continue to build that relationship and make this a place that they want to be a part of. And if they're able to capitalize on their name, image, and likeness, and I want to help them in any way that I can. So certainly times are changing, but for me, it's never going to get away from the reasons that I got into this profession, and that's being able to help young people compete and get young men in an awesome age, 17, 18 years old, and watch them go through college and then get invited to their weddings and things like that as they get older. And that hasn't changed. And, you know, you just got to learn, you've got to adapt. And not saying that Coach Saban did not, I'm not saying that at all, but it's different. And the job is different for Kyle than what it was in 2020 when I got hired.
Yeah.
I mean, it's changed so much in the last 3 years, and it's constantly changing, and you just got to do a great job of evolving and adapting, and that's what we're trying to do, and we're all learning as we go too. I can't pick up my dad, could pick up the phone and call my dad and ask him how he handled the transfer portal in NIL back at Virginia Tech in 1995 because it didn't happen. So we're all learning for the first time.
That, no doubt about it. Well, last thing, and this isn't even a question, but I had to let you know about this because we recently had our third child about 7 weeks ago, and I had the in-laws in town, and my father-in-law was reflecting on the 10 years my wife and I have been together, and he revealed to me that part of the reason that I guess he was sold on me was when I first met my wife on campus. You might not remember this. I gave him the campus tour. And as we were giving the campus tour, I thought, this is a good-looking girl, right? So I think I might want to date this girl. And her dad's with us, and I'm walking them around campus in Blacksburg, and it occurs to me, how can I impress this guy? He's a football fan. So if you recall, I texted you, and I said, Shane, is the tunnel to Lane Stadium open? And you said, no, but I think we can get it open. What's going on? And I said, I'm hosting a grad student. I didn't tell you why at the time. I just said, I'm hosting a grad student. And I said, is it open? And you got it open for me. And I walked him through the tunnel onto Lane Stadium, and he said that was the moment that sold me on letting him marry his daughter. So I never got a chance to thank you for that. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, I love it. Fantastic. I'm glad I could have an impact. It sounds to me like one of these three children should be named Shane based on that story you just told me.
You know what? If we have a fourth, I will give it serious consideration. I promise you that.
Name him Frank. He's done a heck of a lot more than I ever have, but that's awesome. I did not know about the third child. Congratulations. That's big time.
Thank you, brother. Hey, best of luck. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Look forward to it. Have a great week.
You've tuned into Instant Replay. When the audio was so good, it has to be heard again. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.